Hello and welcome back to another episode of Project 2028. Thank you so much for joining us. Today we're going to be doing a debate about gun violence. Without further ado, let's dive right in.
So specifically for this episode, and hopefully in the future, we are going to have more of a roundtable debate type of discussion. This has been requested by lots of different listeners, people such as our friends, our family, and other people have just been wanting to hear us go more in depth in kind of debate with each other. So that's exactly what we are going to be doing. Ryan is going to kind of be playing devil's advocate here. These opinions that he is going to be saying are not necessarily his personal opinion. He is more just trying to give us something to argue against. I am going to act more as a mediator, and Luciana is going to be taking the stance of having more strict laws on guns and stuff like that. Now that I have kind of introduced this format and what we plan on doing, let's start with the first topic. So, Luciana, let's focus specifically on school shootings. So, what do you think is the most important kind of issue? What is the biggest leading cause, and why are there so many school shootings in the U.S.?
In my opinion, one of the biggest issues leading to school shootings is the extreme access to guns for children. An estimated 4.6 million American children live in a home where at least one gun is kept loaded and unlocked. This contributes to so many deaths. At least 12 children die from gun violence every day. This is a wild number, and it could be prevented so much if guns were more regulated and locked up and not available in a home with children. And also, guns used in about 68% of gun-related incidents at schools were taken from the home of a friend or from their home, a friend, or a relative. So this is, again, showing how unsecured guns and people who shouldn't have access to guns are contributing to school shootings. So that's one of the most important things to me.
Yeah, Ryan, the same kind of question to you, or kind of your response to what Luciana has said.
Well, to respond to Luciana, and I do agree, gun security is a problem. However, the kids growing up in these families, the kids who are committing mass shootings are obviously not in the mental mind space of you know, the populace of America. And I would argue that their families, even with increased laws around gun safety, would be ones less susceptible to putting their gun in a locked situation. If you look at a lot of the kids and their families who have been, you know, committing these egregious crimes, the families are just as much to blame as the children are for the development and the horribleness of this. But you see that these families, even with the gun restriction laws, a lot of them, I personally doubt, you know, I think statistically, these families, even the kids who are in these families, would be the least likely to, even with these laws, put in the thing, because they're already defying many laws. There already are gun safety laws regarding how you're supposed to keep your guns locked and unloaded. So I see that as kind of a product in and of itself.
I just disagree, though, because I think no matter how many issues certain families have, if they don't have weapons like loaded guns that are kept unlocked, they aren't going to be able to hurt others. Well, and I agree that not everyone follows every law, but if guns were more regulated, if it was like, you can't have guns because you don't have a background check, you haven't passed these mental tests, maybe a waiting period, or if it was like, you have to have these guns locked, if you were punished for not taking care of your guns properly, if the parents of these people who commit school shootings, the people who allowed them to have these guns, were...
Sorry, I'm just going to redirect and get back onto topic here. So we will touch into all of these subjects a little later, but let's try and stay with the original thing. Ryan, do you have anything you would like to add, or do you want to kind of move on?
Into what? It was hard to kind of respond to, like, the rambling, yes?
Okay, let's get our next question going. So the next question is, what type of legislation would you hope to see pass The question for Luciana. What type of legislation would you hope to be seeing passed, whether that be in Congress or through the Supreme Court or through the states even?
I think that it should be more national than just left up to the states, and I think that there should be background checks, like tests for mental illnesses. Your gun should be required to be locked and unloaded around children, and in general. And I also think there should be waiting periods, so you can't purchase a gun on just an impulse, like I'm angry and I'm buying a gun. I just don't think that should be allowed.
Well, all of these definitely have merit. I see it as most definitely at least a good amount of these in a lot of Supreme Court cases and precedent that we've seen, even from 2010 with Heller and D.C. and all that, and handgun laws in Chicago. Some of this is, and most of this is flagrantly a violation of the Second Amendment, requiring people to take mental tests. For one, is so unfounded. It obviously, if they have severe mental disorders, but you have to define all of the criterion and things that would not be allowed under these statutes. And I see as passing even that legislation would be immensely challenging. So I just don't see most of that as viable. However, some maybe strengthened background checks and securing of guns could be advantageous. But also you have to remember, just like seatbelts, there's a lot of people who may not obey and may not agree with what these laws are. And the ATF isn't going to come to everybody's house and check, right? They would need immense resources, and I don't think the government wants to give them that, or anybody really. So I just see it as not really viable.
So this is a question for you, Ryan. What type of guns do you think should be allowed to be accessed by the base American person? Like, what do you think?
Well, when you say type of gun, do you mean like type of gun as in type of model, or do you mean type of shooting style, like an automatic, semi-automatic, self-reloading? What do you mean?
Both, mainly the second one, mainly automatic or...
Okay. Well, automatic guns have been banned for a while now. They're considered weapons of mass destruction, and they're not allowed among the public. They are seldom used in school shootings and for that kind of thing. You need special permits and tons of specialty stuff to even try to acquire one. There are specific scenarios in which you can, but there's never been a significant shooting with a automatic rifle, or at least one that was produced that way. Like semi-automatic rifles, like people think the AR in AR-15 stands for automatic rifle. It doesn't. It stands for Armalite rifle, which is the company who makes it. Those are not automatic rifles. A lot of the guns you see today, it would be so inviolable and impossible to ban all semi-automatic weapons, because a semi-automatic weapon means you have to pull the trigger every time. Otherwise, we're going back to, you know, revolution things where we reload manually the gun every time, and that's just not how guns are today. So that's not really how I see it. Semi-automatic weapons obviously have to be allowed.
A follow-up question here. We saw the Supreme Court earlier this year, specifically this summer, rule about silencers. What are your opinions on things like those?
Silencers specifically and, you know, gun attachments, the opinions on those are, you know, mixed. There's multifaceted space with specialized scopes and stuff like that. But silencers in and of themselves don't present too much of a problem, especially if you're going hunting or something like that, in which it may be advantageous, but you kind of need to revert to the specific instance and what the situation is for that.
I would just like to say, I think that this isn't in response to the silencers, pardon me, this is in response to the thing about automatic and semi-automatic guns. I still think that semi-automatic guns can do so much damage. If you guys remember the shooting in Uvalde, where a semi-automatic rifle was used, some of these children's bodies were so destroyed. They were identified. There's one child. They couldn't figure out who he was because his body had been so destroyed. They had to identify him just based off of the shoes he was wearing. And I just think semi-automatic rifles are causing so much harm. They are so dangerous. I think it's kind of ridiculous to say they're not as bad as they could be.
I think they aren't as bad as they could be because there are automatic weapons, of which are destructive and for obvious reasons disallowed. But you can't ban semi-automatic weapons. I mean, 90% of weapons are semi-automatic weapons.
Why do people need those?
Because they're guns. The question could be the same. It's for self-defense. Nobody wants to have a gun where you get one shot and then you have to wait. One sec, let me reload, robber, or whoever you're self-defending against. Or if you're hunting. When you are hunting, it's not like, yo, deer, just chill for a second. There are types of weapons that are made for specific things, and it is just so inviable to ban weapons that can shoot at a bit of a faster rate or a lot of a faster rate that aren't automatic, right? I see that
the harm they do is so much more than the good that they do. When you see these school shootings, when you see all the kids that are dying, it is doing so much harm when you can just shoot, and it's mangling these bodies.
Of course, it's horrible, but the response would be that, nevertheless, it would be a crude violation of the Second Amendment, and there are many statutes that say that you could never ban semi-automatic weapons, because that is, in and of itself, a huge infringement of the Second Amendment, because that's banning such a huge type of gun.
No.
So Ryan brings up the Second Amendment here, and I'm kind of gonna pivot us. So the specific wording of the Second Amendment says that a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right to the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Let me interrupt. This was originally created so we could rebel against a tyrannical government, as said earlier in the preamble of the Constitution. We are not going to be able. Let me make something clear. Right now, with the guns we have, it would be very hard to overthrow a military as advanced as ours. With guns that you have to manually reload every time, it would be impossible. It would be like fighting with sticks against nuclear weapons. It is not viable, and it would not fulfill the requirements of the Second Amendment to have people who are able and ready to overthrow a tyrannical government. I don't see it as possible.
No one right now is trying to overthrow a tyrannical government. Right now,
but yet the Constitution
is used to kill elementary schoolers.
But yet the Constitution entails that there has to be an ability for the people to overthrow a tyrannical government. Whether you like it or not, that's what the Constitution says.
That's what checks and balances are for, so the government doesn't get tyrannical.
That's not what checks and balances are for. That's a total misinterpretation of the government.
Cut that out. No.
We're not.
Part of me saying cut it out.
No.
Kind of clarify here, this is a very raw, uncut episode. The only cuts we are having is when we are reassessing and regrouping as a whole.
The word we'd like to use is screaming, but like loving screaming, so that's okay.
So back to my question, Luciana, what are your opinions on people using the Second Amendment to kind of defend themselves and to really take the Second Amendment as the most important amendment? And we see this a lot in spaces that are more Republican-leaning.
I think that the Constitution has to adapt and adapt with the times.
Well,
and
it's
I
not
think
adapted.
That
I'm not sure what the problem is if it's not adapted.
I think that the Second Amendment, like, you have to, the Constitution in general, you have to be able to read it through the lens of the time you are living in. No. And I think that you can have the right to keep and bear arms. Vice President Kamala said herself, I have a gun. I am not going to take away your gun. But she
didn't take away every semi-automatic gun, according to you.
She believes that there needs to be regulations, and so do I. And I think that's not infringing on the right of you to keep and bear arms.
Well, two things. First thing, Luciana's regulations entail taking away 50% of American guns. That's hundreds of millions of guns. Let me just say that to preface it. But secondly, she requires a reinterpretation of the Constitution is what she just said, and I'm quoting. That is so unconstitutional, I don't see it as even an option. There has to be a militia that is ready to overtake a tyrannical government. Whether or not that is warranted in today's society is besides the point. If you want to amend the Constitution, amend it, but it doesn't amend when you look at it and you feel like a certain way, right? It has to be amended through all the as you said earlier, and this is using the correct terminology now, the checks and balances of government. That's how you amend the Constitution. You don't amend the Constitution by looking at it and interpreting it. that's set for the Supreme Court, but only in specific instance.
Check, yes.
Just to clarify Ryan's statistics here, semi-automatic firearms make up 20 to 25% of the roughly 400 million privately owned firearms.
I have 55% from Pew Research Center, so we can debate statistics, but nevertheless, that is hundreds of millions of guns. Hundreds. In that, not only being inviolable, you would require a constitutional amendment so large, it would be the first one in nearly 25 years.
I would also like to say, you said you were sure that Kamala has a semi-automatic gun. I don't believe she does, because she supports assault weapon bans. So
semi-automatic guns are not assault weapons. I'm not sure what you are lacking in the mind, but a Sig Sauer is not an assault weapon in any way, but yet it is semi-automatic. I don't see that as its own problem.
The mental capability of the opponent.
I'll fact check you on that. Not all semi-automatic weapons are assault weapons. In fact, not a lot of them are. Assault weapons are stuff as AR-15s and stuff like that, yes?
But those are still used in school shootings.
Anything could be used in a school shooting. A knife could be used in a school knifing. Sorry, school knife. School stabbing.
Let's move on to our next question. Luciana, specifically, what do you think we can do to prevent school shootings or to lessen the amount that we have each year?
I think this is a great question, Elle. First, I've talked a ton about how I don't think we need, semi-automatic guns. I'm not going to reiterate that. I'm going to talk about other things. I think that is probably the most important thing. But aside from that, and aside from controlling who is able to get their hands on any sort of gun, I think it's important to have security in schools. I think it's important to be able to make sure you know who's going in and out, have a good security team in the school. And I also think it's important that students who are having issues and are thinking, I want to shoot up a school, that they have someone to talk to so they don't do that. Because 93% of school shooters planned their attack in advance, and almost every documented case of active shooters, warning signs were shown, and almost all mass school shooters showed threatening or concerning messages or images, and more than 75% raised concerns from others prior to the attacks.
Sorry. Luciana just made that whole thing up. She cut it and then she restarted so I could interrupt her. She just spent 3 minutes searching for her. She just spent 3 minutes searching for statistics. I haven't opened my computer once, just to be very clear this whole time. I'm doing this off my head. She has statistics from, a partisan organization. No, I just memorized them beforehand. She has details from a partisan organization, and I just wanted to point that out, so I'm just going to give it back to her, just so everybody knew kind of the background of what's happening right now.
Yes, thank you so much. So I have facts, I have statistics. It seems like Ryan doesn't. I'm not sure what I don't know why he's arguing against facts, and some of my statistics are from a website that doesn't like school shootings. Ryan, do you like school shootings? I know you're a high school student. Would you like to die?
Fine. Let's go back to the original question, which was, can we prevent school shootings?
Yes, no.
Oh, I already gave my opinion. Let Ryan talk.
Yes. No. I totally agreed with a lot of what Luciana said there. School shootings can be prevented through intervention, and they should be. But government regulation upon a lot of stuff that has already been deemed unconstitutional is a separate issue, and I think we've already argued about that. But I do agree there has to be intervention. There has to be good security system regarding the school in question or in subject. And that most certainly needs to be it. But I mean, that's kind of just my take on it. But I do agree with a lot of the stuff she said.
Yeah, so I'm going to take this to a slightly more personal level. Our specific high school that we are attending, this is our first year there, so this was not while we were present at the school, but I know, at least for me, my brother was there. We have seen a couple instances where there have been students who have brought weapons, or there have been weapons that have been on the campus. And specifically this year, our school has upped the security. Mm-hmm. Luciana, what are your opinions, and do you think this will help our school, not specifically our school, but also other schools, if they were to do a similar thing, kind of limit the amount of ability that there would be to bring a weapon like this onto campus?
I think this is a great question, Elle. I think it would be more imp- I think it would be more impactful to get to the root cause of the issue, obviously guns, but I know we've talked so much about that.
Guns. Let me just caveat that for a second, sorry.
I know we've talked about that, so I'm not going to discuss that. I'm going to discuss the issue, the things that we specifically have. We have a ton of security guards at every entrance. You have to scan in and out so they know who's
physically
coming.
Overpower 90% of them. These are not people that are presenting much of a problem. They need weapons and they need weapons training. I think they should be more trained, in fact.
I honestly agree. I think that this is going to do a little bit, but if a student was the one bringing a gun in, I don't think it would do that much. I know they have a new policy of acknowledge, care, tell. If you have...
that is a joke.
I think it is absolutely a joke.
Yeah, just to be very clear, that's a joke.
I think it is too. You're supposed to, if you see it's going along the lines of if you see something, say something. And I don't think they understand the kind of peer pressure these days. No one's going to be the first one to stand up.
Well, no. If anybody sees a gun, they're going to say something. Let me just be clear. But like, if you're a good... Okay, I'm putting this in air quotes. A good school shooter, you're going to make sure people don't really see this.
4 out of 5 school shootings, at least one other person had knowledge of the attacker's plan but failed to report it, Ryan.
Yes, because let me be very clear. That person of which they would know of is not a person who's just a random... They don't just go to a random person's school and they're like, yo, I'm going to plan a school shooting. You think that's cool? No, they're talking to their friends, people who are in the same mind space, right? These are not... They're not just... Because if you presented a gun to... If I saw a gun, or anybody really, saw a gun at a random part in the school, do you think that just they would just be like, nah, do you know what? That's kind of cool, actually. Let me not report that to the principal.
The school shooters aren't going to walk around with the gun sticking out of their backpack until they're shooting. It's going to be the friends that know. It's going to be the friends that know, and it's going to be the friends that don't
Of course, but the friends are the people who are also in the same mind space as these school shooters. Most definitely. They're associating with the person. People who associate with each other tend to share ideals, mind spaces, stuff like that. So that's what I kind of see.
I agree. I think it just needs to be more like, this isn't what happens. And I think there should be more security in the schools. But also, if a student wanted to come in with a gun, the student could bring a gun in. And most of these shootings are done by students. So I think that's kind of an issue that our school isn't really considering.
Do we think that there should be more of a police presence on high school and college campuses and even elementary schools, which are another super big target that we see in school shootings? A lot of them do happen in elementary schools. And also, what are our opinions on some schools mandating clear backpacks and putting in metal detectors?
I think that these things, they're annoying in day-to-day life. What, you have to buy a clear backpack? That's annoying. You have to go through a metal detector? That's annoying. But it's more annoying to be dead. So I think that it wouldn't be a bad idea. I don't think I would be thrilled about it, but I would be thrilled to not die, so...
I don't think I was thrilled to not die. That's just considered life. But that's a separate issue.
I don't know what you mean by that, Ryan.
Not dying is called life. People are just... They're usually kind of medium on life. So to kind of talk about that, metal detectors are a very easy way to kind of solve this for students and staff. They walk through metal detectors. It's pretty simple. There are some caveats because some school stuff happens to be made out of metal. But that's a separate issue for a separate day. And it can be pretty easily solved. However, clear backpacks, I'm a bit wishy-washy. I haven't seen that as much, actually, publicly in reading about stuff. And I see that as kind of just like an annoyance for everybody involved and for the students. And kind of a bit of a, it's not necessarily just the best look for the United States, for every child to wearing a clear backpack to school so that we know that they have guns. That's what stadiums do.
It's not the best look for the United States to have mass shootings all the time.
Yes, it isn't. I agree.
But no one's going to care if you have clear backpacks. Like, clear backpacks, whatever. School shootings is actually something that gives us a bad rap. No one's going to be like, oh, the United States, they have clear backpacks.
I know.
No, the United States, they have no gun regulations and children are dying.
We do have immense gun regulations, however.
Do we?
Yes. However, we in fact have an old agency. It's called the ATF.
Yeah, so what specifically are these regulations, Ryan? Let's pivot there. Let's talk more policy-based.
Sure, we can talk about in a bipartisan effort in the 1960s, 1970s to eradicate automatic weapons. Actually, it was a bit earlier, but that was a separate one. To eradicate automatic weapons from our streets. It was a big problem up until then. This was around right after World War II, and it was a big problem facing the United States, and bipartisan legislature came together to ban these weapons of mass destruction. in not weapons of mass destruction as in chemical warfare, stuff like that, but weapons of mass destruction as in urban mass destruction, such as machine guns, automatic weapons, guns that you just hold down the trigger and they spray, stuff like that. And there has been much bipartisan legislature you see on that kind of thing, stuff that is just very common sense. And also in the states and in local municipalities, you see much gun regulation. So that's kind of where I see that.
So that was a really Ryan-specific question, and we weren't actually going to have Luciana answer it.
That's true.
So I'm going to kind of pivot us again, and we are going to focus more on the consequences of school shootings.
Kind of just intervene. Death. The consequences, yeah. Death. I'm with Luciana. Not, the consequences of school shootings.
I meant of the shooters. So not of them specifically, but we've seen recently more of their family members have also been getting charged.
That was what I was on earlier. The parents of the school shooters in most cases are liable. However,
for sure,
it's in some cases, and what I've kind of been seeing is there is a bit. They charged the most recent parents of a school shooting with second degree murder. I don't think second degree murder is murder where you didn't plan it beforehand. I think that the parents in a lot of cases could be charged for manslaughter, but I don't think, especially if you're not directly committed to the crime, it would ever constitute second degree murder. I think manslaughter is a much more reasonable charge personally. I also don't think legally first degree murder is obviously planning out a murder. Second degree murder is if it happens basically spontaneously, not kind of quasi spontaneously. But I don't think that these parents should have that charge appended to them. But manslaughter carries just as much of a penalty in a lot of cases. And I see that as a punishment for parents who have been negligent. But you also have to remember, not all parents with these school shooters are negligent. Yes. In fact, there are a lot of good parents who never had any clue, who were very responsible. And it was a sad thing. So
No. I think there's no way that parents could have no clue. Because first, if they're genuinely not seeing the signs, they're probably a neglectful parent. There is no way 93% of school shooters, sorry, Ryan was trying to interrupt me. 93% of school shooters showed signs in advance, and in almost every documented case of active shooters, warning signs were shown. Like, these are obvious. These are children that they have an interest in violence. These are children that are telling their peers. These are children who have raised alarm bells before, and the parents aren't doing anything about it. And more than that, they have access to guns in their home. And I think that the parents are absolutely responsible.
Lou, do you think the schools should also be held responsible to a certain degree, specifically if a child were to have gone to a counselor?
I think this is actually an interesting question that I hadn't thought of. I honestly hadn't. That never occurred to me. I think that's an incredible question, Elle, and I think it's, I think if someone is telling a counselor, a dean, a principal, a teacher, then yes, and the school doesn't do anything about it, then yes, I do think that the schools are responsible because they are putting other students in danger. So I think it's kind of the same role as the parents, and I think that, I think that if the school is doing the same thing that the parents are doing, being negligent, not reporting signs, then yes, they should be held accountable. So I think that this is something we don't see a lot, but maybe we'll see more of in the near future.
I have nothing to comment.
Okay, let's move on then. So now we're going to move more away from school shooting and talk about more general gun control and things like that. So, hi, I'm going to pause for a second right here just to kind of explain this big jump you are going to hear in the audio in a couple seconds. So I know we said at the beginning this was going to be a pretty unedited version, but I am right now cutting probably a 3-minute section of complete screaming. You literally could not hear anything anyone was saying. No questions were asked, no points were made. It's not valuable to this conversation, and it really just kind of gave an unprofessional look to the episode, and this is a super serious, important topic, and I feel like that was not the main point of this episode, and I know some of you might be listening solely for that the yelling, which, I mean, who could really blame you? It's pretty entertaining to hear people yell about politics, and we see it a lot in today's world, but I felt that cutting it and jumping to a part where Ryan is asking Luciana a question, which happened directly after those couple minutes of screaming, was a better choice than to leave it in. So please don't be shocked when you hear this major audio cut and jump between what I just said and what Ryan is about to say.
I would like to talk actually about gun-free zones and what Luciana's opinion is on that and what she sees.
Taking over my job.
In gun-free zones. Sorry. What's your opinion on gun-free zones? Because what I see is that gun-free zones are great, except they present an option for criminals in a defenseless area, a place where law-abiding citizens don't have any guns. So if a criminal really wanted to go somewhere to get either murder somebody or steal somebody's money or like whatever, it would be much more advantageous to go to a gun-free zone than somewhere where guns were prevalent.
I think that this is a really interesting question, Ryan, and I think this is exactly why most people don't support banning all guns. I think this is why Kamala herself...
banning all guns?
Excuse me. I think this is why Kamala herself has said, I have a gun, I'm not taking away your gun, because she
people just don't... She's semi-automatic gun, just to be very clear.
How do you know this? What are your sources?
Huh? Because... Over 55% of guns, a majority.
20%.
I'm not sure where you're getting
20%.
Is that from like sandyhook.gov or something like that?
I will give this point to Ryan here. There is a very low chance that our current vice president has a gun that is not semi-automatic.
But we can't be stating that as a fact if we don't know. So
no, but you're so anti. Do you think that...
So I'm actually going to ask Luciana to either answer this question or to have us move on. Luciana, what are your opinions?
Oh, I was answering, then I was interrupted.
You went on a separate tangent about gun restrictions.
Please just continue with your answer to this question.
So I think this is why most people don't support banning all guns, because then it does leave people defenseless.
No, banning all guns is a blatant violation of our nation's constitution. That's a separate issue. Get on the point, please. That don't want to hear talking about banning all guns. Answer the question.
I don't think all guns should be banned in certain areas. Nobody That's what I'm all. Saying.
She's
You're talking Ryan, about gun-free zones. Ryan's, I don't think...
Ryan's question to you was, do you think gun-free zones are useful, as if someone really wanted to do mass damage, they would go into these
gun-free really.
Zones.
I don't think that they're useful. No, that's what I was saying.
Okay. Well, no, I would like to point out that obviously I've kind of been forced to take up a more conservative point in this argument, Luciana liberal, inherently. But that is one of the very, very liberal places that has been proposed in the past few years, and she's not even supportive of it. So I don't see that as quite of a point that a lot of liberal rhetoric and propaganda has to be. But Elle, I'll give it back to you.
Thank you. So, Luciana mentioned that she wanted to talk about how this specifically, how gun violence affects minorities, whether that be race, sexuality, ethnicity, things like that. So, Luciana, how are we seeing the effects of gun violence on these minority groups?
Well, I think, first of all, 90% of teenagers killed in an act of dating violence were girls. I would also like to say that children of color are more likely to experience campus gun violence. It's twice as likely for Hispanic students and three times as likely for Black students. Also, Black youth are four times more likely to be killed with guns than their white peers. 1 in 5 gay children have been threatened or injured with a weapon on school property, and children living in poverty are more likely to die due to gun violence than more affluent peers. Sorry. So I just think that this is really affecting minorities, and if it was primarily affecting rich white children, more would be done.
One point, well, Luciana was saying that, I'm going to quote Elle word for word right now for that dating thing, and then I'm just going to leave it at this. Elle's quote is, of course 90% of it's woman. I'm just going to leave it there. But take that and tell, ask Elle what she means by that, and maybe you'll see what she's trying to say.
What do you mean by that?
I am assuming the statistic is mainly focused on heterosexual relationships, and in most of these relationships, the women will be seen as smaller. It's mainly just like the idea.
Men possess more physical power.
Yes, yeah. the physical difference between a man and a woman are very vast, and this is a whole nother issue that we can get into in a whole nother debate if you guys would like to see that. But of like it would make zero sense for that statistic to be flipped. That's more what I mean by that.
Yeah, I see that statistic as that. What were your other points, Luciana?
Did you listen?
No, I was. I just got sidetracked about me and Elle talking about the badness of your statistics. Sorry.
So I think we should focus on active listening here, but it was that.
Well, she was focusing on this active listening tangent she had. She needs to pull up her statistics, so just give her half a minute, just
excuse
quickly.
Excuse you. I am...
Okay, let's get back. We've already talked about this. Luciana, Ryan, I'm going to ask you guys to be civil, give back to this discussion, and we've already gone on about how we are taking slight pauses for statistical research.
I have my statistics. I recited my statistics. Ryan, if you don't remember, that's okay.
She talked about specifically in communities in poverty, how they are more exposed to gun violence. Also, she talked about how 1 in 5 LGBTQ plus teens have been threatened with a gun at school.
I'm not here to obviously ever debate statistics about that. I believe both of those are most likely true. The LGBTQ, that's a very sad thing. I mean, and there are many preventions and attacks that could be taken. Well, the two beside me are scrolling on Instagram right now. But beyond that, I would like to talk a bit about poverty and gun violence. And I think inherently there is a correlation in almost every country between gun violence and the level of living condition you are in. Richer people tend to have less gun violence. This is because they live in neighborhoods that are less riddled with gun violence. This is a product.
Why do you think this is?
Because people with less money, they tend to live in neighborhoods with gangs and where gun violence is prevalent. And I see that as more of a product of their financial situation and where they live than of the actual guns themselves. The guns just kind of migrate there because of the gang and in the semi-lifestyle because of a neighborhood that is impoverished and in poverty.
So if the regulations that Luciana has been suggesting throughout this entire episode... would that riddle down on gang violence and in turn kind of riddle down on the gang presence we see in lower poverty areas?
No, in fact, it would make it worse because there are these things called ghost guns. I'm not reading from a computer right now, God forbid. There's things called ghost guns. They are guns that are constructed without a serial number. They are not on the registry anywhere. These are guns that are made in primarily used by gangs and drug cartels. Those are the two main users. And when you ban guns that are good, the ones that are going to be used by gangs, you are only making ghost guns more prevalent than they already are. The guns that are used by gangs, they're going to get them either way. They don't care whether they get them from the store down the street somehow, I'm not sure how, or by a trade that would be done underground in less official channels, right? So I would see it as actually producing more ghost guns, and ghost guns are definitively a horrible thing because it allows gun not to be traced. It allows nobody to be held accountable for action unless there is an actual physical description at the scene. You can't trace the gun to anybody. It makes it a lot harder. So I'll pawn that back off to Luciana.
I actually agree with you, Ryan. I think that this is definitely an issue. Like, people will, like, gang people, they can find ways to get these guns, and I just think this is a whole separate issue, but I mean, for the first time, I think I agree with pretty much everything you said. I would also just like to say, on a different note, I don't know why we have been treating using research and statistics like it's a terrible thing this whole episode.
That's not what I've been saying. I've just been saying that I've been doing this in a much more vulnerable position than you have, and I'm just saying that somebody is more prepared, and inherently that comes with the territory.
Okay.
And that will conclude today's debate. I'm going to let each of them kind of finish up, not in this specific debate character. If Ryan wants to talk in his actual personal opinions, I will let him do so now.
Look, there's not enough time to espouse my personal opinions, but these were kind of manufactured, just to be very clear. These do not represent my personal opinions, but... And they may represent some or all or none, but this was me kind of being forced, as I allowed myself to be, into a position of a conservative gun activist. And Luciana being forced more liberal, naturally, however.
Yes, I had a lot of fun recording this debate. I would like to mention that Ryan wasn't forced. He was excited to play devil's advocate, but as always, we have no tension in real life. We all have, we have differing political views, but so does everyone. No two people have the exact same views on every issue, and it was a really great constructive discussion. The screaming was just for fun. I swear, we have a great time recording these, and this has been such an amazing experience for us.
There was only a few phones thrown across the room in the recording of this podcast. I'm not joking.
So I'm now, is that, are we good? Yes. Should yes, I wrap good. Up? Okay. Yep. Just to finish and close up, if you guys liked this debate format, please, please let us know. Please either come talk to us in person, send us a text, or you can email us.
If you don't like the episode, don't go to our Instagram.
Yes, you can email us or go to our Instagram and leave us a DM. The Instagram is project2028.podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening and have a great day.